As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message, a children's sharing time.
First lesson is a reading from Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is a reading from Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom all and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In a dream, Joseph is warned to flee to Egypt to protect the infant Jesus from the jealousy of Herod. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in a place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, Merry Christmas! It's the fifth day of the 12 days of Christmas. That's right, kids. We're really supposed to be celebrating Christmas for 12 whole days. And it is a really odd week, isn't it, in between Christmas and New Year's? We just rushed and hurried. We wrapped and baked our way to the pinnacle of Christmas. And I don't know about you, but now I have a little bit of an empty feeling. Our beloved Christmas carols aren't playing on the radio anymore. And all of the holiday decorations are out of the stores. Those morning shows are no longer doing segments on buying the perfect gift. Instead, it's now how to make returns hassle-free. And sadly, most of the Christmas cookies have already been eaten. But in backing up and looking at society as a whole, it seems like we get ourselves worked into a frenzy for one day. The day comes, and then our reaction is to pack it all away. Get the decorations put away, put the presents up on that shelf where they belong, get back to the regular hits on the radio station. Then we have to buy Hershey Kisses in the plain silver wrappers again. Our response is, let's get life back to normal. Christmas comes and it goes every single year. And each year we have the opportunity to remember how God became flesh and God lived among us. Each year, we hear a message of the kingdom of God being already here, but not yet fully here. Each year, we have the chance to let the magnitude of this soak into us a little bit more. All of this makes me think. This, the incarnation of God into the world, the creator of the universe taking on a body and living among creation. This, how do we respond to this? How have others responded to this? In our scripture for today, there are some very big responses. The most shocking response would be from King Herod. The wise men had spoken with him on the way to worship the new baby king. Then they did not return. Herod had been tricked. Herod's fury was more of a reaction than a response. And it sets us on edge in the midst of this Christmas scripture. Just after hearing of the welcome of baby Jesus, now we hear of Herod's jealousy and wrath. Herod calling for the murder of children is one of the most challenging pieces of scripture. It's an absolutely awful piece of the story. But we can't simply turn away from the parts of scripture that make us uncomfortable. While Herod's reaction is awful, absolutely awful, there is no question about that. But it's the magnitude of the reaction that I find curious. God coming among us shook the powers of that day so greatly that the king was so threatened by God among the world that he called for the murder of his people. While sadly, it's a negative reaction that Herod had, it is a massive response to what God is doing in the world. It makes me think about the kind of responses we have to God's work in the world. We just celebrated the birth of Jesus, and we're often quick to pack up that celebration, to put it on the top shelf in the garage for next year. What would it look like for us to have a massive response, although hopefully a positive, massive response to God's work in the world? King Herod realized the radical change that Jesus brought to the world, and he acted on it. How do we recognize the radical change that Jesus continues to bring in the world? This wasn't a one-time event. Yes, Jesus' birth was, but this is a continuous pouring out of God's love upon all of creation. How do we respond? It's easy to give the pat answers. Well, we're going to respond by feeding the poor. We're going to care for the sick, and we're going to clothe the naked. Yes, all of those things. Those are all good things. But what does that actually look like? And when we figure out what it does look like, do we have the courage to let it radically change the way we interact with our world? I know I'm still trying to figure this out too. So we talk about feeding the hungry. We can bring non-perishable food items to worship on the fourth Sunday to put in that grocery cart for sharing God's love. That is a great thing to do. We can make monetary donations. That's also a wonderful thing. We could go down to sharing God's love and volunteer our time. We could pass out warm meals to those that are experiencing homelessness in downtown Columbia. These are all wonderful ways to feed hungry people. So I wonder, are any of these responses all that radical? Are these responses on the magnitude of King Herod's response to Jesus? No, they really aren't. They're what we're supposed to be doing. All of these are merciful ministries that are deeply needed and valued. They truly help people sustain their lives, and we must continue all of that. At the same time, the radical presence of Jesus in the world is going to ask us why people are hungry in the first place. What are the systems and situations that cause people to experience hunger? And what can we and should we do about it? How do we, the people of Redeemer, work together to ask those big questions? How do we as a community look towards transformational ministry in the world around us? That is a response of great magnitude. So, we donate food to sharing God's love, but we also ask if people experience hunger because of unemployment or underemployment. And if so, how do we work to improve employment opportunities in our area? We make monetary donations to help feed people. But we also ask about the housing market. Are people having to choose between feeding their families and paying rent? If so, what can our community do to advocate for good and safe low-income housing? So are you with me? We still look at the needs that the person has. We're merciful and fulfill needs. But we also go a step further and dig deep into what systems and situations have contributed to that need. We seek a world where transformational ministry is the massive response we have to God incarnate in creation. And it's not just about world hunger. We could look at any other need in the world. Our scripture for today has Joseph, Mary, and Jesus fleeing for their lives. They are refugees seeking safety in another country. In our world today, we have refugees in need of a safe place to raise their families. People are trying to escape oppressive and dangerous places they can no longer call home. What is our massive Jesus-like response going to be? Our country faces some of the highest statistics of incarceration in the world. As Jesus followers, what is our massive response going to be? Changes in our natural world are creating a crisis for endangered species and a lack of clean water. What is our massive Jesus-like response going to be? We could keep listing things like addiction, disease, racism, natural disasters, genocide, poverty, war, and famine. It seems overwhelming. And it is. I'm sure the call of King Herod to murder children was overwhelming also. But you know what? There is something else that is overwhelming too. It's the love of God. Christmas Eve, we heard the words from the Gospel of John. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus is the light that has come into the world. And the hunger, disease, racism, poverty, that's part of the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ. We are called to have faith to move mountains, to bring transformational ministry into the world. A faith that can sustain a massive response only because we have Christ in our midst. While we celebrate the incarnation of Christ at Christmas, we have the light of Christ in us each and every day. No darkness, nothing shall ever overcome the light and love that God has for all of creation. Amen. Thank you.
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Continuing to celebrate the birth of our Lord, let us pray with hearts reflecting the wideness and depth of God's presence and love abiding in us for the whole world, with the whole people of God, for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let us pray. We pray, Lord, for the church throughout the world, all inspired and led by the Holy Spirit, and for all who proclaim the wondrous deeds of yours, O Lord, that all divisions cease and disagreements be engaged with love and respect. Lord, in your mercy, for the earth and her creatures, for animals of every size, plants that provide
Let us pray. Generous God, you have given us life, this community, and these gifts of the earth that become the meal of your grace.
Move in our hearts that we might use your gifts to bring hope and blessing wherever we go. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, praise to you for the birth of creation. Praise to you in the darkness and in the light. Praise to you for your promise to your people. Praise to you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Praise to you for Mary's openness to your will. Praise to you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. And the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth, and in his death and resurrection, we look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us, awaken your people, fill us with your light, bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Let us pray as our Lord taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us, you grace us with life and breath and give us bread for the journey. Send us out in service to this world that you love, telling the amazing news of your coming to be Savior and Lord of all. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
will I have to walk?
I think the Christ candle was supposed to be lit today, too, and I forgot all about it.
Mike, listen, you did good getting the cat. Who forgot to move my item? You know what lectures do it?
Yeah, I got here nothing. I mean, like, the heat wasn't even turned on. And usually, Pastor likes for that to be done ahead so that it...
Oh,
I know. He's here early.
But he does not want that.
Right.
Oh, well.
He texts me.
Right, they said the church didn't fall in.
Right.
I mean,
he texted me the other day and he said, do you think you'll be there Sunday? And I said, I think so. I'm feeling a lot better. And he said, would you mind turning on the heat? Because, you know, when it's unoccupied, we don't keep it
yeah.
warm.
I know that.
I don't know. I sat down and I just happened to look up here and I said, oh, my Lord, the candles are lit.
Oh, well.
But the church didn't fall down.
Yeah, but the church didn't fall down, I'm sure.
Peter Gray, the line I think about is, there's this word that Mark Luther used called Patty Afro, which basically means nice, but not necessary. Oh, sure.
Thank you.
And my cat's very sassy. Very, very sassy. Yeah, I see one over there.
There's some LBWs, the point says where we need to get back on this shelf though.
Where'd they go?
There, just like
Bert?
They go right there.
Yeah, on that shelf.
Are you going back in the
did you
7 minutes?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
that it?
Appears to be.